All right, so recording is live. Hey guys, what's up? Welcome to Locked On Clippers. It's in for me, another solo episode from William the Opinion Updike. Charles is gonna be gone for two more casts, but we're gonna make it through without him. We're rolling through. It's Twitter Tuesday today. You know what that means. We go live every single Tuesday. That's at Locked On Clips. Try to go live at 1:30 p.m. Pacific, but hey, we do our best. So today I'm gonna be taking questions from everybody. A few really good ones were sent in above, like ahead of the cast. We're gonna be talking about closers, who is getting the ball when the game is on the line. Really excited to talk that through. We're gonna be talking through some stuff about the new rookies, possibly if Jerome, Jerome Robinson is gonna have a breakout season. So all that and more coming up soon. If you guys are listening to the podcast, I will be taking questions and reading off comments from our great fans watching on Twitter. If you ever want to leave a question but are unable to tune in during the live stream, please hit us up. That's at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler, and we'll do our best. All right, let's get into it. So Clippers 0007, is that 1007? 0007? Chimed in with the question, with up by two with 5 seconds left. We're inbounding the ball. Who are you giving the ball to ice the game? Somebody's chiming in, Kawhi for the two and Paul George. And Paul George for the three. Yeah, those are both great options to ice the game. I think for me, it just depends on where the play is coming from. If we're starting at the baseline, I would like to see Lou Will just like running the point and, or his distribution. I think with the current team construction, he probably has the best distribution from a purely point guard perspective. Obviously, Paul George and Kawhi can both handle the ball, make good decisions passing. But yeah, I would probably have, if it's at the baseline, I would definitely prefer to have Lou Will with the ball in his hands. And then, yeah, you post up Paul George at the top of the key, where he's ready to either take somebody off the dribble or just create a little bit of space to get that shot off. And then you have Kawhi just inside the key. And it really depends. I think it would be situational who the ball would go to. I got a little bit of an outside pick for you guys. I think maybe in this situation, the ball goes to Jamichael Green in the corner. There's going to be so much heat on both Paul George and Kawhi, as well as they might try to trap Lou Will immediately, especially if Trez is on the floor with the last, if he ends up being in that closing lineup. But I think, yeah, I think Jamichael Green is like an outside option. But of those two, I basically agree with what people are chiming in on the live stream. I think if it's from three, Paul George is the better option. I think that Kawhi is definitely the better option if it's inside, if it's a long two, if he has enough time to get a quick dribble off, if you can throw like a long inbounds pass. If it's an inbounds from anywhere else on the court, like after a stoppage of play or something like that, I think in that scenario, you go Zubats inbounding the ball to, if you have time to make a lineup change or if he's already on the floor. You go Zubats throwing in the ball. I think you go Kawhi on the right side, Lou Will on the left, obviously, and then have Paul George maybe sprinting across the baseline for whatever's available, whether it be a three or if he can't get there fast enough, also a long two, because he is a great inside game as well. He's not just like a three-point shooter. But yeah, I don't know. This transitions perfectly into what I wanted to talk about closing lineups. Obviously, if the team is all healthy, there's no way that Paul George and Kawhi aren't both in that closing lineup. I think, to me, the interesting closing lineup is running Jamichael at the four and Trez at the five. I think that Lou will generally be running the point in closeout situations. Once again, though, this could all depend on the type of team that we're playing. But I think in most situations, Lou Will is probably the best guy in the clutch to do that. We've seen him do it time and time again. I trust his reads on the floor. Someone's chiming in Shamet. You know, I shouldn't have slept on Shamet. I do think that, yeah, a lineup of, I mean, if you're looking for just purely outside shooting, a lineup of Paul George, Shamit, Jamichael Green, once again with Lou Will running the point, and then you have your pick at center. That's five guys, right? Yeah. Sorry, I had to do some quick math there. I'm dumb today. But it's interesting because it just depends on the team that you're playing. And in the opposite scenario, you know, where we're down and there's, you know, like there's enough time. Let's say there's like 30 seconds left on the clock, so we got enough time to get a stop and ideally run a play. I think that is like, that to me is like a little bit more interesting of a situation just because this is such a defensive-minded team. They've made that very clear. Obviously, with the additions and the prioritizing of Patrick Beverley, I think that it says a lot about this franchise that this year, as opposed to last year, we really are looking to be like an actual more defensive squad. So I think that in those situations, I think that you're running out some combination of Pat, Kawhi and Paul George, switch them wherever you want, Mo Harkless, and then most likely Zubats to me. I know I keep harping on him because of those his defense in the playoffs. I feel like it's really hard to separate that from the rest of his season. But I mean, physically, he's a great fit for like a defensive center. I do think that he'd be capable of getting a stop in a clutch situation. We'll see how he looks this year. But I don't really know a better option at the five. So somebody's chiming in right now. Do you think we're going to pick up anyone? I really don't at this point. Things could change at the trade deadline. Obviously, you know, we just don't know enough about this team yet. We know a lot about the second unit, and we know, I mean, a fair amount about some of our personnel, but I don't know the way this is going to fit yet. So that leads me to believe that we're not adding anybody unless it's, I don't know, yeah, unless there's a necessary hole that needs to be filled. So there was somebody on Twitter was talking about a two-way team trade with the Clippers and OKC and the Memphis Grizzlies, and we would acquire some combination of Andre Iguodala and, I can't remember. Let me look up what this other one was. Andre Iguodala and... Sorry. All right. So the trade was a three-team trade with OKC and Memphis for Iggy and Andre Roberson. If you listened to the pod yesterday, I'm not a fan of any trade that would net Andre Roberson coming to our team. I think that he's a less good Mo Harkless and with a worse injury history. Mo Harkless, I think my biggest knock on him would just be the three-point shooting, like being able to space the floor. But you'd be hard pressed to find a lineup with this personnel where Mo Harkless, where that wouldn't be a detriment because there's enough spacing around him. Someone's saying that Roberson's offensive game is not good at all. I would agree. I was running the stats on his like career. Hey, what it do, baby? I was running the stats on his like career per 100 possessions, and he's essentially a net plus four guy with his combination of really solid defense and all right offense. I feel like those numbers aren't really quite correct, though. I would say that he's more of like a net neutral unless you really, really need to stop. Somebody's saying we need a center. A trade to get Iggy and Roberson also doesn't achieve that. A center would be one of those things that I saw us picking up. At this point, though, it's just really, I don't know. It's really, it really doesn't seem like it's going to happen. The choices out there are kind of dwindling. Someone's asking, how are they going to defend Cousins and AD with only Zubats? I just think that's the wrong way to look at that matchup. I think Cousins can be defended pretty well at this stage of his career by anyone of pick your three, Ivica Zubats, Jamichael Green, or Montrezl Harrell even. I think that Charles is saying that Cousins defends himself. Yeah, I think that's fair too. AD is a little bit trickier of a matchup, but we've seen Zu go at him before. We've seen... I think the physicality of someone like Trez does bother him on that end. People on the stream are saying Pat Bev on AD. Man, never count out Pat Bev on AD. He might just guard both of those guys. He'll take a double assignment, and then we'll just focus on him getting a stop, just jamming the ball across the court, because he's also going to be a perfect distributor in this scenario, and just score. Who cares about defense? So what else we got? So D Davenport 04 asked a really cool question. I do live in LA. Asked a really cool question. Is Jerome poised for a breakout season? And it's a tricky answer. I feel like a lot of, I don't know, I feel like a lot of people are pretty grim on the outlook of Jerome Robinson right now, and I don't really feel like that's fair. I think that he has a ton of upside, and I think that he has a ton of upside. I think my only hesitation would be the how big the front office is on Terrence Mann right now. And, you know, Jerome most likely isn't fighting for point guard minutes, but that's just another guard that he has to contest with. People are talking about making a trade for Evan Turner. I like ET. He was really good for Portland in the series against the Nuggets. You know, he helped them get through that series. He had a couple of breakout games that were incredible to watch. I don't know what we trade for him. I don't think we have anything that we could really give up that would be of use. And also, it just like we have so many forwards. I don't really know. People are saying Jerome needs more minutes and a chance. Absolutely. Yeah, I'm not down on him at all. I think that I said this last season that he has a better chance of like reaching his ceiling faster than Shea just because he's like a different kind of player and he's going to be expected to do something in a different role. Jerome Robinson to me looked really good defensively, not like really good as in he's like a DPOY or something, but really good for a rookie who had to learn. And I think that we saw his positioning get a lot better. He also just has the physical tools to really take care of business on that end. Yeah, so that's all good. So coming up next, I'm going to have some more questions from you guys. First, got to do a shout out to Hotels.com. Guys, if you're in a new town, maybe you're gonna roadie to follow the Clippers this year for their championship run season. You should. Where are you gonna stay in all these different towns you'll be visiting and dominating? I don't know. I don't know where you're gonna stay, but you should check out Hotels.com. They'll figure it out for you. All right, so back to Twitter Tuesday, taking more questions. A lot of people are saying no name change. I fully agree. I don't really know why at this point we would bother changing the name, especially after we get that sweet, sweet chip. What would be the point? I like the Clippers. I think that it's great. I actually wish, I think if we do end up doing like a little bit of a rebrand, I hope that we lean a little bit more into that identity. People are saying maybe we change it back to the Braves. If it were to change, that's the only thing I could be being changed to. But I just feel like maybe culturally right now, that's not like the best fit for a team name. If it changes, it should be Phoenix. The Los Angeles Phoenix is interesting. No name change, but logo is useless. Yeah, I'm not a fan of the current logo. I feel like I've talked about it enough. We got to go back to the Clipper ship, definitely. The Clipper name is a badge of honor. So that's another thing. This fan base, you know, this fan base has come so far that even this free agency, like regardless of what happens actual championship-wise, it's been a victory for this franchise as a whole. I mean, this went from a few years ago being like what was a punching bag, obviously, and under the helm of Donald Sterling, to something that like two of the top 10 players ended up, you know, one demanding a trade out and one signing outright in free agency. That was never gonna happen before. Even in LA, even in the, you know, the biggest or second biggest market, it still wasn't gonna change. And I think for that reason, everything this franchise has been through, I really don't see any point in changing the name. You could make an argument to me maybe for going back to the Braves, but even still, I'm a fan of the name. I don't know what we'd change the name of the podcast to. We'd probably keep it locked on Clippers forever. You know, we gotta maintain that. So that's all I'm gonna say on that. Somebody's asking if Steven Adams is a possibility for a trade. I like the idea of Steven Adams quite a bit. I think in actuality, he's not a good fit at this point. Well, maybe. I mean, if we're really trying to make a championship run over these next 2 years, probably go back-to-back. I do think that he's an interesting fit at the five. We just have no way to acquire him. We've already given OKC all of our trade chest. People are commenting that the Steven Adams contract is crazy. So I want to talk about that for a second, because I was thinking about this the other day. The Steven Adams contract, sure, it's high. Sure, Russ helped get him paid because he helps boost his assist numbers. But still, I don't think it's that bad. It was also, correct me if I'm wrong, I also believe that contract was signed in the summer of 2016 when everybody had money. And, you know, like a lot of people got overpaid. So that one to me is like a less egregious overpay than, let's say, what Dellavedova got or Nick Batum or anybody who's been a frickin' anchor to a team's winning aspirations. Sorry, let me look up that contract real fast. I can't remember off top what it is, but it's like 20, it's in the range of 25 million, isn't it? Yeah, he got 4 years for 100, which is what you pay, what you pay for a franchise center. I just think that it's high. It's a lot of money for sure. I don't know. He's a top 10. I mean, he's easily a top 10 center in the league, maybe higher. So I think that, and he kind of opens up playmaking for other guys with his ability to set screens and roll to the rim. My only hesitation for Adams, other than the fact that there's no way that we can feasibly get him, we just don't have anything to trade, is I think that even at age 26, he's starting to slow down a little bit. And maybe he just had a nagging injury that was bothering him in the playoffs, but he did look slower. He did look like kind of slow to move. So I don't know. I don't know about that. But the contract to me is not the worst thing about Steven Adams. I don't know how I don't think there's any way we could make it work salary-wise just with contracts, especially when you have two guys that are each taking up, you know, like a 30% of your total cap. So I don't know. Somebody's saying, when will they announce Will Updike as the TV color guy? Oh, man, I don't know. I hope I get that call any day. I sit and wait. I'm like Madame Beauregard from Great Expectations. You know, she just chills in that room for like 20 years, cobwebs. Anyways, I don't even know, I can't even remember if that's her actual name. So Nigel Roxbury, who is a Clips Nation contributor, be sure to read his stuff. He said, what do you make of the story last week that Terrence Mann could see some real burn this year? He said, and he added that he loves it as a potential backup point guard. I don't know what to make of it. So coming down now from the high of Playbook 4, which, you know, was incredible, and afterwards, I think I said it to Matt Chonger on the internet that, like, I could easily incite a revolution post Playbook 4. But now that I'm looking at it like a little bit more critically, I don't know. It's hard to say, like, how much of that was just to hype the crowd up and how much of that was real. I do think it's, you know, it's a mix of both. John Verzecchi's asking, when will they announce Gortat as our assistant mascot? I think the hammer would be a really funny side mascot. I don't know that it makes sense, but they probably have hammers on Clipper ships. I mean, you got to fix stuff up. Miss Haversham, thank you so much. Ah, man, can't believe I screwed that one up. I'm not as lit as I thought. So, but turning back to the Terrence Mann thing, I do think that we could see Terrence Mann play. I think that we will see him play. I don't think that that was smoke. It's as to how that's going to look, that I'm still really curious to see. So I think what we could see happening is some really interesting sort of rotations at the guard positions. Because obviously, you know, we have our guys, you know, we have Lou Will and we have Shamet, who will most likely be in that closing lineup, maybe Pat Bev, depending on if we need to get a stop. But I do think there is some questions about the distribution of the guards. And I've harped on the fact that in pick and roll situations, both Paul George or Kawhi can handle the point. But that doesn't change the fact that you still need real guards, like with a distribution eye. And I think that we've seen Patrick Beverley improve at that. It's certainly not something I would call like a full knock on his game. But, you know, it would be nice to see those numbers higher. We could see an improvement. But that's where I think Terrence Mann could carve out some time as somebody who can see plays, especially on the second unit. I think that he'll be playing some more time with the second unit, with Lou Will maybe getting a little bit of time to rest on that second unit, so he's not quite playing such heavy minutes, because we really need him to be able to give his all in this postseason. So I do think that we'll see Terrence Mann get some playing time. I'm curious to see what that looks like. I guess my overarching thing is I'm just more curious to see what these guard rotations are going to look like. Somebody just asked a question. I missed it. I'm sorry. I was going on a rant there. Somebody asked, is Terrence Mann better than some of the other free agent guards out there right now? So on the list, I think the biggest two names that we're seeing come up would be Jeremy Lin or Brandon Jennings. And I don't know how to compare those guys. It's kind of apples to oranges for me at this point. Obviously, the perks of Terrence Mann over either one of those guys is the intangibles, which is just development. Taking a guy like Terrence Mann and giving him time, even if those are like the weakest minutes that we have at guard, I think that that's really important. I think that that's really important to develop. And that, I think that, you know, regardless of his performance, I do think that that has more value moving forward than a Jeremy Lin or a Jennings, who, you know, like are kind of battle-tested guys. Like, they've been in playoff scenarios. They've had some really good games. They both also just had a lot of injuries. They've lost a step. And we just have a great veteran. We have two great vets at the guard position already to come off the, like, to, I mean, Patrick Beverley most likely starting, and Lou Will to come off the bench. So I don't know, man. I'm going to say that, yes, Terrence Mann, to me, and I'm not saying just pure stats-wise, I'm obviously talking about the intangibles. To me, Terrence Mann is a better fit for this team than either Jennings or Jeremy Lin. Somebody asked about Livingston. Livingston, to me, falls in this same boat. I think that Livingston has had like a really incredible career and a really incredible, you know, comeback and story, and I would love for him to get a victory lap with the Clippers and win a chip. I don't know. I just don't think it's worth giving up a roster spot, because, you know, come trade deadline, we might need that spot. So who knows? Somebody's saying they just want Jeremy Lin to stop crying on TV. Man, that's so rough. I feel bad for dude. I don't know. It's hard. I think that it's nice that he got to be on that Raptors squad, and maybe it is time that he starts thinking about another role. I think that he would be a great fit for a team in a different capacity. I do think that he could be good at working with guards, possibly in a Sam Cassell-esque role. I don't know. I do still think there's a place for him, maybe even a place as a player in the NBA. I just don't think it's with the Clippers. How many roster spots do Clippers have? I believe we currently have two, which is why one is, you know, too much to give up for a player who's not going to get a whole lot of run. Somebody asked, what about the rookie big, Fiondu Kevengele? I am excited about him. I think that he's an exciting player. Hyper-athletic, has a bit of a shot. Actually, like, a pretty decent-looking stroke, in my opinion. So, I don't know. I don't think he gets a lot of time, to be honest with you. We brought back Motley on that two-way, so I don't know. I don't know how much run he would really get. I'll have to see more. Let me see some workout vids. Let me see him taking some threes in an empty court, and I will be able to better assess that. So, what else do we got coming in here? Joe Johnson is tearing up the big three, bringing back. Okay, I like Joe Johnson. I think that's interesting. If I had to choose one free agent vet to join us, that's a great question. I think, oh man, I wanted Pau Gasol, he's off the board. I wanted Greg Monroe, he's off the board. I don't know. I really still don't want a free agent guard. Let me think. Who else is still, who do we got still available? still available. Do I think that Zubats will be shooting the three this year? I would be interested. I would be interested in trying it out. I think that we'll see him definitely expanding the range a little bit, especially depending on how his finishing goes. If he's a little bit more comfortable with the sky hook, with kind of the little short J's, I think that we could see that more. As well, as far as spacing the ball out to three, I think it really just depends matchup wise. If it's better for him to pull the center out and they have to actually respect his shot, I don't know. I think that's pretty solid. So someone saying leave one spot open for buyout season in March. I think we leave two spots open, personally. Someone saying Joe Kim Noah is the one free agent to pick up. You know what? I'm going with that one. I don't know how he would be as like a mentor personally, but I do like him as a player and as like a weird out there dude. Maybe he could show Zubats a few things. I don't know. Another guy that had a pretty solid season last year, all things considered. I'm really surprised he hasn't ended up on a roster. All right, so I got to take a quick break right now to talk to you guys about one of our sponsors. So, Untucked Shirts, guys. If you see me, I'm always untucked. I like to keep it Clipper cash. And how do you do that? You wear an Untucked shirt. That's the only way to go. You look great. You get to be casual. Everybody thinks you're super cool. So yeah, guys, check out Untucked Shirts, baby. Go untucked. All right, so third segment. Someone said that Noah would be a great towel waver. I like that. I want to see more out of control bench celebrations this year. I think that we can all agree that that's the most important thing coming into this season, is just a squad that's getting loud off the bench. So yeah, definitely need more of that. I want every person on that bench going as hard as LeBron goes for his kid throwing down an oop. Gotta see it. You love to see it. So let's see. The other big thing that we have to talk about is Johnny Rogers of the front office was hired by the Wizards. They created a new position for him, I believe, in Washington. He was the director of pro player personnel. So I guess that's a similar title to what Ryan West had. I do not want to see anybody from this front office leave. I think that's super hard. Especially who's someone, I'm just surprised he didn't get snagged sooner, I guess, personally. It's a bummer to see. So a lot of people want to know, could Ryan West pop in, fill in that position? I'm not opposed to it at all. I do think that there's a bit of a tricky situation there, in that I think that it could be viewed by some people in the organization as a little bit of like a nepotistic move. I wouldn't see it that way. I do think that Ryan West is qualified. I do think that he deserved, the position that he got. It wasn't just because of his father. Obviously, there had already been some tension between that franchise and Jerry at the time. So I don't think they did it in a play to lure him back. I don't think that they did it solely on Jerry West's legacy. I do think that Ryan West could contribute to the front office. I think that he would be an interesting interview for the Johnny Rogers spot. This is one of those things that we're going to have to just keep our ear to the ground and see how this, like the loss of the director of pro player personnel ends up panning out. So I already said on the live stream that Ryan West could give us intel on the Lakers. Man, I don't think we need it, guys. I think we got this one in the bag. We can pretty much just focus on Clippers. I love any sort of sabotage or subterfuge. So, Clarkson pick a little overrated now. Okay. Well, I think that they could have developed Clarkson. I think that, I don't know, man. I think that Jordan Clarkson is a pretty nice player. Once again, like, I think the Lakers' whole development is so suspect. Charles is saying Terrence on the court, that's Mando. I couldn't agree more. I really want to see what Terrence Mando does. So we'll have to keep an eye open for that. Let me see. If you got any more questions rocking on this? No, we pretty much talked about everything. But yeah, so that about does it. Unless anybody has some more stray questions they want to fire off. I want to talk, and maybe this is something that we'll do on a full episode when Charles comes back. But we talked about closing lineups today, so I think maybe on Thursday, which will be our Thirsty Thursday segment, we'll talk about just goofiest lineups. Goofiest lineups that we could possibly run out there. And just like what the advantages would be, what it kind of brings to the table. Someone saying any trade rumors with the Clippers? To me, nothing of substantial, like of any sort of real substance. I think that people are floating things around. I don't think that we make a trade. We don't have anything to give up. We don't stand to gain that much with the pieces that we could feasibly give away. Someone's asking, when will the schedule be released for the season? Man, I don't know. I can't wait. I'm so far. It feels like so far away from basketball season and so far since the championship ended, man. I'm hanging out here. I'm a man on a wire. Oh, nice. Somebody's complimenting the new arena of 2024. I couldn't agree more, man. They really put a lot of thought in that. Everything is so, yeah, it's just like so thoughtful and purposeful that I'm really, really excited to see how that all turns out. And 2024 isn't that long in the grand scheme of things. Like, I feel like if they're actually able to open it in 2024, which I'm guessing will be the start of the 2024 to 2025 season, I'd be pretty impressed. Like, that'd be pretty huge. Raz49ers is saying they released the schedule in late August. I think you're right. I don't know, because I can't remember if they released the full season once, put like post training camps. I believe so. Shamit playing for USA, yay or nay? He's working out. I don't want him to play international basketball. I want all the guys to stay healthy, to not be traveling internationally that close to the start of the season and preseason. Yeah. Someone saying 2024, Shea is an all-star elite player. Oh man, come on. He is gonna be, but I don't want to think about that right now. I don't want to be in a new arena without Shea, without our beautiful future. Someone's saying they're turning 59 in 2024. Hey, man, you're 55 right now. Keep rocking with the podcast, man. You're on Twitter Live. Your life seems great. You're gonna be better at 59. Blake got hurt in USA camp. Yeah, I just don't think it's a good idea, especially with them moving it so close to the start of the season. It seems like a net negative. Also, like, I just want the team to kind of play weird runs together. What do I think about Carmelo Anthony with the Clippers? I just don't see it as a possible fit. The defense is too suspect, and I just don't know that the scoring is there anymore. And we still haven't really seen him able to transition into the type of player that works on this team. But anyways, guys, that's going to do it for me. I got to wrap up this live stream. Got to wrap up this podcast. Thanks so much, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks again for asking questions. If you ever have a question during any time of the week, doesn't even have to be Tuesday, hit us up at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler. For any new listeners, please subscribe on iTunes. Give us a rating. Shout out Marilyn, who's live on the stream. Cheers to everybody who watched. Thanks again for your questions. Always love hanging out with you guys. Highlight of my week. Have a good one.